Okay, please take your seats. Srila Prabhupada says, each temple must remain independent and self-sufficient. That was my plan from the very beginning. Why you are thinking otherwise? Do not think in this way of big corporation, big credits, centralization. These are all nonsense proposals. The only thing I wanted was that book printing and distribution should be centralized. Otherwise, management, everything should be done locally by local men. Not by imported men, by local men. Accounts must be kept. Things must be in order and lawfully done. But that should be each temple's concern, not yours. To the one who was asking. The Krishna Conscious Movement is for training men to become independently thoughtful and competent in all departments of knowledge and all types of action, not for making bureaucracy. Once there is bureaucracy, the whole thing will be spoiled. There must always be individual striving and work and responsibility, competitive spirit, not that one shall dominate and distribute benefits to the others, and they do nothing but beg from you, and you provide. No, never mind, there may be botheration to register each center. Take a tax certificate for each and become separate corporations in each state. That will train the men how to do these things, and they shall develop reliability and responsibility. That is the point. Srila Prabhupada ki. So Srila Prabhupada has put it very clearly. We simply have to follow his instructions. Okay, now it's good. Now we have a little mix-up here. It's not just the brahmachari fraction. And so, welcome. We are getting into the leadership and management part of the seminar. We're still related to book distribution and preaching, because what are we leading? We're leading the Sankirtan mission. What are we managing? Book distribution. So it is not separate from our goal, but because our objective here is to address the future leaders of India. That's why we have combined these two courses. You have a student handbook which has quite a lot of information. There is more than 40 pages, 42 pages, which you can read later on at your own time, not now. For now, I'd like you to focus and give full attention. So, today's Ekadasi, and did you have okay prasadam? Bananas, peanuts? So you're all feeling strong? Okay, so we'll have an arm wrestling game. I know, South is famous for its wrestlers, no? Must be. Great devotees, great wrestlers. So, we like to have two volunteers who are ready to wrestle. Strong. Come on. Okay. Where are we going to do this? Can you two move a little bit so we can have it here? Just move slightly down. Okay, take your seats here. Two strong brahmacharis. Nicely hyped on bananas and peanuts. Just have your seats. So, you all know arm wrestling, right? No pinching, no scratching, no spitting. Fair play. Okay? No getting up. Yeah, no kicking with the feet and all these things. No telling things about, you know, the other's family. So, the rules of the game are clear. We'll do 30 seconds. I know you like ladus from Balaji, right? You also? All right. So, every time you put the other person down, you get one ladu. You have 30 seconds. The other arm behind the back. And here, on the table, you have to come to the table. Okay, who is our timekeeper? Who has the Swiss watch? Who is the timekeeper? Okay. You tell Vandesh, get ready. Get ready. Ready? Ooh. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Time is over? Huh? 10 seconds more. More. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Bas, finish. Okay, one laddu. Rio! Who else likes to try? Ah, Shaktiman. Who else likes to? You choose your opponent. You choose whoever you like to choose. Okay. Have your seats. Arm wrestling game here. 30 seconds. Serious job. Mahaprasadam. Ladu from Balaji. Huh? No, no, you have to get closer to the table. Close, 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 close. No, 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 no. Okay. Elbows down. Okay. Okay, ready, steady, go. Wait, 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 start again. You're not allowed to just take the other hand down. Okay, go. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare. No, off the table doesn't count. You have to stay on the table. If you move off the table, then it's illegal. Okay, continue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Over. Okay, zero ladus. Okay, now we want... Yogi, yeah, Shakti. Now we want two smart ones. Huh? Huh? These two. Every time you put the other person down, you get a ladu. If he puts you down, he gets a ladu. Okay? You know how it works? Okay, this is serious business here. This is state competition, you know? Okay, chalo. Hey, no talking, no talking.
No fixing.
No fixing. Okay, ready? All right. Ready, steady, go. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram.
Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, two ladus and one ladu. All right, now Revati and myself will do. Don't worry, don't worry, I'll help you. Okay, ready?
Go. Go.
Put it down. Come on, tack, tack, tack. Then you both get a lot of ladus. Come on. Who is counting? Okay, so what do we learn from this? Win-win. Have more cooperation, you get more ladu. If you actually sit down together and you talk with each other, what both want, you can both achieve the purpose together. But if you just put all your energy into it, you might get zero ladus. Both have worked very hard and they got nothing. Huh? A lot of times we put all our energy, all our focus, everything into doing things right. But we don't always do the right things. So we work very hard to be efficient, to be good, to be productive. But we're not always producing the right kind of things. So the main focus on leadership and management is, first of all, please come to the table, everybody. Don't be scared. Get back. The first focus in leadership is management is to define the tasks. What is the goals? What is the aim? What is the objective? What are the principles and values by which we're going to work? And then how to achieve that goal. Srila Prabhupada has given us very clear directives in the seven purposes of ISKCON and in all his letters, in his books, in his teachings and instructions. So we do not have to reinvent the wheel. Who are we? What are we meant to do? Where are we meant to go? We just have to go to Prabhupada's teachings and study them. Please take your seats. And never mind that there is no ladus today. Today is Ekadashi. I'm sorry. No ladu and Ekadashi. But you will get ladu later on. So mainly today, we're going to focus on this course. It's going to be a little concentrated because this is a big topic and it requires not only time, but also it requires the mindset of wanting to be involved with leadership and management. Now, I ask you, who is a leader and who is a manager? And what's the difference between the two? Who can give a definition? Who manages?
The manager.
Who is the manager?
Who inspires?
Is that correct?
Who follows well?
Who follows well? Okay. What's the difference between leadership and management?
Leader gives the
vision, the direction.
The manager does.
The manager executes it. Okay. Okay. Can everybody be a leader? Can everybody be a manager?
Yeah.
Yes. Each and every one of us has to manage. We have to manage to get out of bed. We have to manage to get our dhoti on. We have to manage to come to Mangal Arati. It's all management. Most part of your daily life routine is management. So everybody has to manage. Housewife has to manage her family. Businessman has to manage his shop. Brahmachari has to manage his preaching, his book table, his affairs. Leader, that requires vision. You have to see the bigger picture, not only your 2 feet. It's like when you're riding a bicycle. You can't just look on the floor. Otherwise, what happens? Huh? Accident, yes. So you have to keep on pedaling, keeping the balance, and looking in the front. Now, that's a little challenging for a young kid to do all these three things at once. Because the tendency is you look down. Okay, am I pedaling? Am I steering? And you forget to look up front. So that's exactly what happens to us many times. We are too busy absorbed in the details. And we can't see the forest for the trees. So we tend to kind of fall over our own shoes or our own feet. We stumble. So in this day, today, we're going to focus on a few simple basic techniques on how to have better ways of communication, how to have better ways of cooperation, and how to achieve a better result. Now, somebody might say, this is all material stuff. We don't need this. We just chant Hare Krishna, and everything will work fine. Agreed. At the same time, if you study the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of the Acharyas, we can see that they are embodying all these qualities. They're using all these techniques. Just like we mentioned the other day, Mahaprabhu with the Mayavadi sannyasis. He was using empathic listening. He just listened to them. He just heard them out. Till they had so much faith and confidence and trust in him that he just won their heart and he could do whatever he wanted to do. So, first topic today is teamwork and building relationship. And for that reason, we're going to introduce the concept of the emotional bank account. Now, how many of you have a bank account? How many of you have a Swiss bank account? Just checking. Okay. You know, the brahmacharis nowadays, you have to ask every now and then. You know? Because you never know. You never know. Okay, page 13 of your student handbooks is an emotional bank account. And there are six main deposits. You know, in a bank account, if you want to get some interest, you have to put deposits. You have to put money there. So, can somebody read out what are some of these deposits?
The first one, understanding the individual.
Details also.
Sure.
The key to the other deposits, you don't know what they consider a deposit until you understand them. To make a deposit, what is important to another person must be as important to you as the other person is to you.
Did you understand this? No? Okay, the concept is as follows. Whether you're in management or in preaching or in book distribution or in business or in family life, everything depends on relationships. Because if there's a breakdown on trust, remember what's the primary reason why people are not buying our books? They're not trusting us. In order to create trust, we have to invest. It's called an emotional bank account. Like when you go up to a person and you say, hello, how are you? That is a deposit. So all these things which we're discussing here, these six deposits, are ways of how to win over the person, how to win their confidence, how to win their trust, how to make them understand that you are a nice person, you are a considerate person, you actually want their welfare. That is the goal. Because if you just roll up there and you say, I want you to do this, this, and this, and this, most likely, they're not going to do it. They're not going to buy your book. They're not going to follow your instruction. They're not going to do what you tell them to do. Why not? Any idea? Why they're not going to do it? The ego is there. The ego is hurt, or what did you say? Not only is there zero deposit, but you're going in minus immediately. You're immediately going in minus. How are you going in minus? By giving instruction. Without any relationship, any rapport, you're just shouting orders. Immediately you go in minus. And that person will block. He will stall immediately. He will say, no, this doesn't work. So what you do is you have to put deposits. So one is understanding the individual. That's the first one. First, you have to open your eyes and see, who am I dealing with here? What's the scenario? Who is the person in front of me? Who are they and what do they want? Okay? Any questions to this? Tell if it's too esoteric, too complicated, or too foreign. Now, this is basic human relationships 101. Yes?
Actually, if we're talking in respect with book distribution, time is too short, actually, sometimes. It's just too short. You just see a person coming out and you... So.
How long time does it take? How long time does it take? When you go on Sankirtan, to understand a person's mindset, how long does it take? 2 seconds. How long? 3 seconds.
1 minute.
Okay. I would say a split second. How much? Okay, he says when they open their mouth. I see somebody walking in the door and sitting down, or I see somebody walking on the road. I know their mindset. Why? It's my job. This is what I do. Like somebody walks into your office, before they sit down, do you know what they're going to say? Yes. Why?
Body language.
Take the microphone, please. Tell us.
Hare Krishna. We would like to know who exactly he is, what's his mindset. We'll understand by his body posture, the way he walks in.
Body posture, the way they walk in, the way they behave themselves.
The way they sit down, the few words, we'll come to know.
And even if they try to put on a show, why do you know what's up, what's behind the facade? Yeah. Who tells you?
My mind tells me.
Paramatma.
Yeah.
He's very humble.
Krishna in his heart
tells him. This is what this person wants to do. This is what this person needs. Let me act in such a way to, you know, make this person happy. That's what's happening. Now you may say this is all just, you know, experience and behavioral psychology and studying the dress and the behavior of people. Actually, it's not. You can boil it down to your chanting. The better you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the easier it becomes for you to connect with people. And you don't need to look even at dress or, you know, face or mimics or... They don't even have to open their mouth. You just look at their eyes and you know what's going on. You know the whole life story. Or you know as much Krishna wants you to know. But as preachers, this is essential. Whether you be a book distributor or you be a manager, the more you understand the mindset of people, what they're looking for, what they want, and the more you know how to give it to them, the more successful you'll be at your job. It's very easy. So, we might say we don't have the time to do that.
Short time,
yeah.
There are a lot of inputs which we take in and then we can...
Yeah. So after a while, by practice and by intuition and by sadhana, by spiritual practice, we become more, that becomes more. Initially, it's more the outside thing. You see, the body moves, he behaves like that, he talks like that, you know, this person is like this, this person is like that. General patterns. But even then, you can go wrong. After a while, you just go with the energy. When you go on book distribution, you just hold out your hand. It's like a radar. You know, you have radar here. Like when Vishnu, he has his hand, you know, for blessings. So you have your radar. Put out your hand, you greet the people. And you feel the energy. Okay, what's the energy? And you already know what's going on. And you're doing whatever it takes to make that person favorable. So it doesn't take minutes or long time. Yes? Microphone.
Because we want to give them what we have received, Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So we shouldn't judge them. Because if we judge them, then our ability to see them will be on a higher platform and then you are looking down upon a person. So, we have to be clear that if we are seeing a person's actions, we should give him a benefit of doubt.
Yes.
If we don't do that, you know, we see a dress of a person, a language of a person, or his bodily movements, and then we come to a wrong conclusion, then our ability to give also gets reduced.
Thank you. Very important point. The key to success is to always see oneself as a servant. The best servant, he's the best leader. We'll get into different types of leaders and different categories of leadership. So, we continue on the emotional bank account. Number two is attention to details. Somebody like to read out?
Okay, number two, attention to details. Small kindness are very important. Kindnesses are very important. Small discourteouses and little forms of disrespect can be major withdrawals.
Just like what Prabhu said. You might be saying the right thing, but because your attitude is slightly off, it's slightly wrong, slightly arrogant, the person takes it in a real bad way. Like you can tell to somebody, hello, welcome, and goodbye. Like sometimes I go to a place, you know, and I say, I'm from Switzerland and this and that, and then people say, go back to Switzerland. You know, in a nice way, but it's kind of offensive. So you may say the right thing, but because your attitude in which you say it is not proper, the person will become disturbed. So it's the little things which make the importance. And point number three, keeping commitments.
Keeping commitments, keeping a promise is a major deposit. Breaking one constitutes a major withdrawal. One should be very careful about making promises and commitments, considering unforeseen obstacles. Others who learn to trust your promises will trust your judgment, even if they don't share your vision.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
That means one should keep up the promise. It's very, very important, whether minor or major. Once we give a promise to somebody, we should keep it up. Others don't promise.
But you know,
better keep quiet.
I felt very ecstatic when I gave that promise, and now I'm more realistic. So, you know, reality is just different.
As has been said here, that will be a very big damage in a relationship. That means you withdraw the deposit, and it's gone. And to make up that takes a lot of time and energy. One thing.
Especially as leaders, people are looking up to you. People have to depend on you. People have to trust you. So if they see that this person is not holding up their side of the bargain, is not coming through with their commitment, then they will withdraw. And they will, if they see that you're able to deliver, they will follow you, even if they can't share your vision. But just because they see that you're trustworthy, they'll follow you. Next point.
Showing integrity means aligning values and behavior, creates a foundation of trust that is essential for cooperation and long-term personal and interpersonal growth. Without integrity, others sense duplicity and become guarded.
Could you comment on that?
I'm not sure whether it is how it is so related to book distribution, because as Prabhuji said that our interactions are quite small, but in general this is a very important thing, because especially leaders are being watched by devotees, by followers, and how they conduct themselves. But this is also related, I feel, that with the third point, because integrity comes by keeping up promises. So as one is truthful to what he says and does, one becomes, you know, trustworthy person in the eyes of others.
Just like as an example, how it relates to book distribution. Remember in Srila Prabhupada's life, he had seen so many sadhus at his father's house who were, you know, smoking and doing so many other nonsense things. So he was not very inspired to go and see this other sadhu there, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, because he had so much bad example from so many misbehaving sadhus. So sometimes people, they may come to our book tables and then they see the devotees, you know, talking in rough language amongst themselves or getting angry or misbehaving in some sort of way. Whatever it is, you know. Like sometimes we are not so careful. We think people are not watching us. We can do it in whichever way we like. Well, people are always watching us. And then they're losing faith. They're losing the trust. I was in Russia, and we were four or five of us just standing together and talking. You know, devotees, we were very happy talking to each other like that. And one lady, she was there for 10 minutes, and she looked at us. And then in Russian, she spoke through the translator. She said, "You're very special people. The way you talk with each other, I really like this. Why you talk to each other like that? And, you know, why you're so happy together?" And then she bought a book. So simply by seeing the behavior of the devotee, even if they're not understanding what we're talking about, they will be able to appreciate. So it is of utmost importance also for the book distributors, because much more than our words, people will actually see our action. They will see how we deal with the people. And they're around, you know, they come up, they check you out at the table, then they go in, then they come out, they check you out again, isn't it? People come a few times. They come and go and come and go. And if they see that we're consistent, you know, that your personality, what you preach and what you live is the same, it matches, they become attracted. They become convinced that this is serious. Can somebody give some other example for this?
It's related to both the previous and now that you told first. Whatever you have, some donation we are asking. Then give me more. You just showed that video like by asking like that. Because first we told, whatever you have, just some donation you can give. When they give very less, when we ask for more, they feel that, no, we are not keeping the promise. We gave a word, but we are now asking more.
Did you ever see the look on somebody's face when you ask them for more? What is this? You know? You just said this much. Now you want this much?
Usually when we go out for book distribution, we have seen that if there is an individual devotee standing near the temple gate, people will come, listen to him and nod and then go away, not take from him. But when they see a table, then they can relate, okay, this, you know. And sometimes they will ask also, do you have a table? Then say, yeah, that table, we are. So when they see a team of devotees, then also they have more faith. It's just not one-off trying to pull something on them and then they buy.
Many times I go out for book distribution with big groups of devotees for training, you know, on-the-job training. Sometimes 10, 15, 20 devotees. The whole walking street, we just fill it up with devotees. Sometimes they're young, you know, kind of inexperienced. So they go up, they show the books to people and people kind of brush them off, just walk by. It happens all the time. And then they walk down and I stop them. Then I give them a book, and they buy the book. And then I ask them, you know, you just met that person over there. And they say, no, that was not the same thing. That was completely different. You understand the point? Even though, devotee, same book, same activity, but consciousness different? Different thing. So it doesn't matter how you're dressed. It doesn't matter what activity you perform. It's all about the consciousness. And a lot of times people are really looking, okay, can we trust these people? Like, is this authorized? Is it bona fide? You saw me on the videos, I was showing my ID card, my badge. People like to see whether you're authorized to do what you're doing. So it's important to tell them, we are bona fide, we are authorized. This is legitimate. We're serious here. It's important. You want to know you're buying certified goods, right? You're not buying something, you know, fake, rip-off, like that. And in the same way, people want to know, are you for real? Are you not fake? Are you not just trying to pull some game? So both have to match. It's very important. Okay, point number 5. Whoever has the microphone, is most welcome to speak up.
Apologize sincerely when you make a withdrawal. A genuine apology is a great deposit. Repeated apologies can be perceived as insincere and constitute a withdrawal. Possible for those with a sense of security who don't worry that others might consider admitting a mistake to be a weakness. Mistakes of judgment, which are usually of the mind, are easily forgiven. Mistakes of the heart that involve pride, rationalization, and ill motives are not easily forgiven.
Have you ever heard the saying, some people are never wrong, but they're not always right? You understand? Isn't that a lot of times how we think about ourselves? We're never wrong, but we're not always right. Any experiences about this? Is a leader allowed to apologize? Is a book distributor allowed to apologize? But we're the good guys. God is on our side. Satyam param dimahi. We are speaking the truth. We are on a mission from God. Why do I have to apologize to this person who is not following any principles, anything? We are right. You are wrong. People appreciate because they can see you have value, you have character, you have integrity, you have backbone. You're not scared to admit your mistake. Because that's the sign of a person who has character. So if we commit mistakes, and you know, to err is human. So as long as one is human, there might be errors. So we'll get to that, the four-part cleanup, what to do. Now, if you repeatedly apologize, what happens then? Person will think you're insincere, you're not really doing anything about it, and it's just like a matter of speech. Like if people say, oh, forgive my offenses, you know, and then they continue committing offense in the same sentence, you know, where they say, like, please accept my humble offenses and, you know, my apologies, and on and on and on and on it goes. So it just becomes a matter of speech. So you can't really take it seriously.
Delays in train announcements.
Huh?
In the train station. Train station.
Yes.
There's always an announcement.
Always announcement.
Deeply regretted.
Deeply regretted, yeah. Inconvenience caused is deeply regretted. I mean, what is this, you know? It's just superficial. It's just a matter of speech. Nobody really takes it seriously because they know nobody really cares. Next point, number 6.
Clarifying expectations. The root of almost all relationship difficulties is conflicting or ambiguous expectations with regard to roles and goals. People judge others based on the expectations they have of them. We create many negative situations by assuming that our expectations are self-evident. Initially, clarifying expectations may require courage, effort, and time, but will spare compounding misunderstandings, disappointment, and communication breakdowns in the long run.
Okay, anybody like to share some experience with us where there was unclear expectations and as a result of that there was a major breakdown in relationship and in service? Can you pass the mic over, please, if somebody raises the hand? Thank you.
Many times it happens that when we go down for preaching and meet somebody new, maybe they would be having a wish of having some kirtan, sankirtan in their house. and they request us for a program, and we also accept their invitation. But at the time of accepting the invitation, we don't make certain things clear, what our needs are and how it should happen there. When we don't make this clear and we enter into the house at the appointed time, we see that the things are always in the mess. So there, the communication what we have failed to do and the expression of what we have failed to do for about our needs, like having a small altar with a Radha Krishna picture or some sort of prasad without onion and garlic. These things are the prior requirements which we have to tell when we go out for making a program. Because he's a new member, he doesn't know about it, and we think that everybody knows about it and we take it for granted. So these sort of things, it makes confusion on them.
Thank you for that. Any other? Yes.
Like, we have this life membership program, and one of the life members, she was visiting a particular temple, and there she was asked to pay a certain amount for the maintenance. But at the time of enrolling the life members, we tell them that it is absolutely free. And then when they go to the places and then they find that different rates are charged as maintenance, and we tell that it's electricity and maintenance only what we are charging. And then secondly, we also tell them that, okay, this is not applicable for the air-conditioned rooms. So I mean, it's better if we keep our customers informed on that front rather than they going there and then they're facing the inconveniences and they really get upset about all this.
Thank you. In book distribution, any example in book distribution where the expectations were not clarified and the people got upset?
We talk about delivering Bhagavad sales. Can we deliver it? And at the time of delivery, we expect them to bear the transportation costs. So we don't mention it when the time of asking for delivery. Then when we deliver it, we do that. And the customer, though he is well off, you know, he feels the pinch, you know, it is not informed. So these sort of small things, it makes lots of misunderstanding.
We expect we are just giving, distributing means just free. So we should make it clear that it is for price. Like,
how many times do people think we pass them out for free and then they're surprised that they have to pay? Happens quite a lot in many places. And people get upset. Now why do we not clarify the expectations? Can you tell?
We don't want to switch off the conversation.
We don't want to switch off the conversation. We don't want to disappoint the person. It's basically called fear of rejection. We have a great fear of being rejected. So, out of that great fear of rejection, we do anything so the person doesn't say no. We drag it, you know, we drag it and we drag it and we drag it. Just so not that the person tells no, at least not to our face. He might get angry later on, he might get upset because he doesn't get what he expects, but don't allow that person to say no to you. But that's not the proper form of book distribution, and that's not the proper form of management. Management means sometimes you have to say no. You have to say, I'm sorry, put your hand on your heart, say, I really would love to do this for you. But right now, under the circumstances, I can't. I would really love to, but right now, it's just not within the means. And the person will have to accept that. So we have to learn to do that. So clear expectations are essential for a book distributor, for a preacher, and for a leader. Because that's where the conflict comes from. People say, oh yeah, you know, I came to do service for the Jamastami, but you should have paid my petrol. And they'll hold that against you for the next 25 years. Even though it's like, you know, 50 rupee discussion. And even if you pay later on, it will not solve the issue. Because next time he sees you, he sees those 50 rupees which you didn't pay him. I mean, you must have stories till, you know, the end of Lord Brahma, like that. So we have to be very strict with ourselves that if we make a commitment, we keep it. And if we see that there is a slight way of interpretation possible on both sides, you know, then we make it very clear. Otherwise, there will be discontent. Because Kali Yuga is what age? Quarrel and hypocrisy. People love to quarrel. People love to be hypocritical. That is just the general tendency. So you have to be very clear on what are the expectations. Always clarify the expectations. And if not, then be ready to do whatever it takes to make that person happy. That's the sadhu way of doing it. I am your servant. You want my clothes, you want my time, you want my energy, take it. If you're not ready or able to do that, clarify the expectations. Absolutely important. Otherwise, it's a major withdrawal from the emotional bank account. The person will not trust us, the person will not believe in us, and the person will not follow us. And they will also not buy your book. So, we are carrying on. And I'd like to have a little talk about competition. How do you feel about competition? Do you feel competition is a good thing? Do you feel competition is a bad thing? Do you feel competition is not relevant to us? You know, like if I tell you, come on guys, you're here, you know, in the South. This is where all the brain is. This is where all the smart people are. This is where all the culture and the tradition is. Why is it that, you know, Delhi is doing 10 times more than you here? Huh? And you feel like, what's he talking about? You know, like that. So I'd like to initiate a little discussion here about competition and social pressure. The good sides of it and the bad sides of it. And how we can deal with it. So,
you are talking about individual competition.
Individual, collective, as yatras, as temples, as groups. I'd like to hear some of your thoughts on the topic of competition. Transcendental competition, mundane competition. Please.
Competition, if it is devoid of envy, it is quite healthy and good.
Okay, competition devoid of envy is healthy and good.
Competition inspires people sometimes to do more like this.
Competition inspires people to do more.
Competition requires for oneself.
One's advancement.
To compete with oneself.
Yes.
Okay.
Competition is dangerous unless the participants, at least the person who gave that competition spirit, must be on a transcendental platform. Like Prabhupada gave competition spirit amongst temples. And because Prabhupada was in transcendental platform, it was successful competition. But somebody who is not on the, it's a prerogative of those who have transcendental consciousness. Otherwise, competition is material.
Thank you. Just share your thoughts on competition. Just like to hear from you. What does competition do for you? Do you get inspired by competition? Can you?
Actually, there is this Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi. Our devotees have competition to chant more rounds. We get like somebody chants 64, then somebody start more and more. Then our highest score is 128 rounds one is chanted. Whole night and day is chanting. But it's also sometimes healthy.
Practically, I've seen in our temple in Tirupati, whenever we have these marathons, you know, our boys get really fired up like anything. And real competition, they do a lot of book distribution. And in return, they don't expect anything. Because based on Srila Prabhupada's words, it's a competition. Prabhupada said it actually. At the same time, the mood is how many books we distribute. You know, and though they appear that they're craving for the results, but in the end they're not demanding anything. But the results are fantastic. That I've seen many times, I experienced this and I become very happy. Just give away the books, that's it. No personal hankering. Of course, we had one or two cases also. Like when you have this, like when you first prize go to Vrindavan, second prize go to Puri, third prize go climb up the Tirumala hills. We have it like this, you know. But it goes well, actually. And sometimes you get just one or two days they're dull, but the third day they're okay. Because we are having these competitions from the last 13 years, every year, 3-4 competitions. But every time we get very good scores, book scores, and things are healthy.
Thank you. In the back, you can pass this microphone in the back and we hear from you.
Hare Krishna. Even in competition, Srila Prabhupada once quotes that even competition exists in spiritual world also. So now his quotation, saying that they all compete to each other how to serve Krishna. So that is a competition mode there also. But here we are competing to each, even in each temples or even distribution or in general, congregational devotees are. The mode should be it's a transcendental competition or whatever may be the competition to serve Srila Prabhupada and the mission. But it should not be like comparative after that. Once you compete and then please don't compare. So this center is, yatra is good, this yatra is bad. That's not actually a healthy competition. It's, you know, it's, they are not constructive competitions, you can say. It's after competition, it should not be a comparative. That they are going good, they are going bad, and all that. That gives not good understanding. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Rather saying competition, it can be in a commitment. So your devotees can have as a commitment to serve or the needy service. Because the competitors both should have the same level of understanding, then there will be no ego taking place or their relationship will not be deviated. So that rather competition can have a personal commitment. In that way we can gain our relationship among the devotees or whatever the relationship. This is my opinion. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
I heard that when somebody is in the mode of ignorance, he doesn't want to do anything. So competition encourages. See, he has already done 2 books. What are you doing? So he gets up and he also moves. And then competition encourages. So I was seeing what is the motivation? When there is no motivation, competition is good. At least he is not doing anything. So he will do something now. But unless the competition is there, then he will not do. So means like, you know, sometimes when Vartharan is there, we do. Otherwise, we don't do it. Nothing. So the feeling was that what I heard is that now they should go to a higher platform. Now it should be inspiration, like a mode of goodness. He has a natural inspiration from the scripture, or he studied something. Like I was just observing you, how you have a desire that today you are morning saying, connecting to the desire of Srila Prabhupada. That is motivating you. There were no books. You went to the library and you took and you distributed. There was nobody competing with you. Means the motivation was the inspiration. I want to please Srila Prabhupada. So when that higher is there, higher sense of pleasing Guru and Krishna is there, we don't need competition. But when it is not there, then we are just sleeping. It means nothing, I don't have any inspiration. Then inspiration comes in the mode of passion that, oh, he is doing, I am not doing. So let me do it. I want to compete and defeat. So like that I was thinking ignorance and fashion and mode of goodness and transcendental. So motivation, so it matters. Otherwise, when competition is there, I will do. Otherwise, I will not do it. So higher is that inspiration, and many devotees share like commitment or pleasing. The pleasing Guru and Krishna should be prominent in our consciousness. The competition should not eclipse that. Competition should not be too prominent that you forget pleasing Guru and Krishna. Sometimes in the heat of this one, we go to shortcut. Shortcut means I forget pleasing Guru and Krishna because I want to get one more extra
or let's sabotage the other party. Huh? Are you seeing that? You know, people puncturing tires and doing, you know, yeah, going to the extent of trying to stop the Sankirtan movement in order to win the competition. Okay.
You come across?
Huh?
You come across this kind of things?
Oh yeah. Everything, from very bad to very good, the full spectrum. Yes, please.
Yeah, competition is comparing, actually comparing. Even in Krishna's pastime, when dressing up Krishna, Yasodamai, she is telling to Krishna, see, another boys are there, very nicely decorated, you also decorate nicely. Now you should go to play with the devotees. All your body is mud. You take bath, you know. There's nothing wrong.
So that's a healthy form of social pressure. Social pressure. You know social pressure is there? And it's important to discuss. Is social pressure good? Can it be bad? Like I know in certain yatras, because of social pressure, everybody attends the program or everybody goes and distributes books. So that means social pressure is a good thing. But social pressure can also be a bad thing. So what's the fine line? And who decides and who balances that? I'd like to hear from you. Okay. This is open forum. No right and wrong answers. Just share your mind. This is a mature audience.
In one way, when we think that competition is just the purification of the self, you can even compete with yourself alone. You need not compete with others. You just think about yesterday what I did, just 2 books. Today what can I do? 3 books or 4 books. That's the sort of competition what you try to build in within yourself, which is where you cannot fight with anybody. Even if you don't do it, only the yesterday score is more. Then you cannot fight with anybody. You have to only
fight. If you can't fight with anybody at the end, you have to fight with Krishna. And you know what happens then? Huh? If you become too big and you can't fight anybody anymore, at the end you fight Krishna. And he'll smash you. Yeah, that's what happens. So you have to be careful. Yes.
The best example is today's modern education system. Is completely based on competition.
Only.
Now you see the character of people who are coming up. Just all screwed up.
Yeah.
Vedic education is not competition. Vedic education is bringing out the best in everyone. But modern education is bringing out best one person. All the others are not best. One person is best.
Brings out the worst.
Brings out the worst. So, although, I think he nicely summed up Nandagopal Prabhu, competition at one level is good, but that is not the highest thing which is a motivating force. The results are really bad with competition because it generally eclipses, more of passion eclipses everything else.
Thank you. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada was happy to see the devotees compete amongst themselves. Like he even told, when Bhagavan and Rameshwar do so many books, then Tamil Krishna, he will have a heart attack. And he made all these comments. So he encouraged that type of spirit because he saw that some of his disciples, some of the leaders, they were very competitive by nature. And he encouraged that in Krishna's service.
This competition... Generally, we use that to make people understand. Like, I accept Shaktiman Prabhu's proposal that Yashodamayi is showing other boys are getting a good dresser. So in Chanakya Pandita's view, it says that Sama, Dana, Dandav, Beda, Upaya. So Beda, the showing that difference, so that the differences can be come. So that there will be no challenging things is not necessary, just we can show the differences. So we can be like this, why don't we like this? Like that, just to upgrade that, we can show some Beda. It is not that he is the person too low. sir, you are better, sir, you are drinking once in a week with your best, but other person, our neighbor, is totally drunkard. So, but you are very nice, you can come to our temple. So we can bring a drunkard person to good way. So that challenging will be, generally, it will kill the relationship among the, because of we are in not much, you know, elevated stage, so that, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Mataji in the back, and then we wrap the topic up.
Sometimes, like most of the time, what we are discussing here is the competition within our devotee circle. But sometimes we get competition from other religious group. And I believe that is quite healthy, because when we see like Christians or Muslims, they are doing something, they are coming out on road and some procession is going on, and then we feel inspired that, I mean, that unsettles our lethargy, and then we get into action. So that's the way when we actually become more active, proactive in our preaching. So I believe that type of competition is a little healthy and required.
Thank you. In my own life, personally speaking, I have to tell you, there was times when I was very, very competitive. When I came to this movement in the 80s, and initially it just got started and started distributing and chanting, and it was fun. And then I saw, oh, this one is doing this much, this one's doing that much, this one's doing that much. Okay, I want to do more than him. I want to do more than him. I want to do more than him. I want to become number one. That motivation was there. I have to admit it. I'm guilty. And I had to pay the price. It was hard work. It was a lot of endeavor. It took me about 12 years to become number one. Once you achieve it, you think like, is it worth it? But then your motivation becomes purified. You know, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo daradi ivrena bhakti yogena yajita purushapram. Whatever motivation we have initially, Krishna purifies it. But because, what Prabhu was saying, there was always some guidance. There was always somebody there who would balance it, who would see that it doesn't go off into dangerous ways. So that is, you know, stabbing tires, they had that in America, not in Europe. Still, we had heavy competitions, but we were very friendly. You know, like on the battlefield, the Pandavas and Duryodhana, in the evening, they would get together and, you know, eat and drink, and they would be best of friends. In the day, there was fighting for life and death. But then in the evening, it was all friends. So that should be the mood, that should be the spirit. There's a lot of competition there. I don't know whether they told you, but, you know, we were on the phone and giving wrong informations to the other party. How many books we distributed. You know, you might say, lying, deceiving, how can you do that? You're a Brahmin. You're not allowed to do that. Right? But as they say, you know, everything is fair and square in business, love and war. So this is war, you know? This competition. But it only increased the friendship. It increased the love and the appreciation for each other. Because that was based on the foundation of mutual respect and appreciation. And not, oh, I'm so great, you're so bad. But sometimes you have to say, yes, like the coward boys, they want to wrestle with Krishna. They say, hey, Krishna, I want to fight you. And I will defeat you, and then you have to carry me on your back. Krishna likes that. But that is not an antagonistic or a malicious or a negative kind of a mood and spirit. So there has to be superior guidance who can make sure that the whole thing doesn't go off, individually and collectively. Because we have seen it, what it does to people when it goes off, when it goes into the material realm. Becomes very distasteful, becomes very, you know, bad. But we have also seen that a lot of people, unless there is competition, unless there is social pressure, they will not move. They will not do anything. So social pressure is just a fact of life. It's just something we have to live with. But we have to study it, we have to understand it, we have to see the positive sides and the dangers of it. Because as leaders, you'll be the persons who will institute and who will push competition and social pressure. So we have to be clear about this right here, you know? Because once you leave the table and you go out into the world of names, into the world of passion, then it becomes very difficult to see what's what. Because somebody might just see scores, somebody might just see money, somebody might just see results. Somebody might see, this is all material, this is all mundane. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do any marathon. Yeah, I've heard people. They just had to stop it because it took on forms, proportions, which were not healthy to the individual devotees. Please.
You made a very nice point that, you know, competition, the foundation of competition is mutual respect. That means when we are training devotees, isn't it first comes that, you know, mutual respect, that comes first. And once the devotees are trained in that mutual respect, and then we can ask them to compete. But, you know, generally in our movement what happens, people just come in, they already coming from a very competitive background. And then you push them into this competition, it becomes bad to worse. First thing is, they have to be trained to give respect to other devotees and then understand our movement is not based on competition. I can give you many examples in our movement. Madhu Pandit Prabhu opened something there. Oh, we must open. Because he opened it. Because he opened it, I have to open it. Or he opened somewhere else, I have to go and open it. I think it's really dangerous, that kind of a competition, because we are not ready. He has a very big infrastructure. I don't have any infrastructure. So, I think it should be need-based. It should be based on mutual respect. Because a lot of people don't understand what is competition. Because we have a very superficial understanding of competition. Competition means, it's nice, pleasing Krishna. But the all examples that are mentioned in the scriptures, they're all in transcendental platform. Cowherd boys in transcendental platform. Gopis are in transcendental platform. They're completely freed from envy. And envy is the backbone of our consciousness in the material world. And envy can increase very badly, envy can increase with this competition. So the first thing is teaching non-enviousness, and then competition can be there. Prabhupada did that, as you mentioned, Tamal Krishna Maharaj or someone else. They were not just neophytes in the moment. They did great service in the moment. And then Prabhupada encouraged them. And it was Prabhupada who was encouraging them. It was Prabhupada's backbone, as you mentioned. It needs a transcendental direction. Otherwise it just creates big confusion in the society. Everybody wants to compete with others. He has built such a big project. Now this is the this thing for me. This is the standard for me. I have seen a project suffer like anything. I'm dealing with them. I'm dealing with some of them. I know very well.
Thank you very much. Revati Raman Prabhu, and then we wrap it up. This is Vigyan. This is realized knowledge.
Yeah, it's very, very important what he said actually. And one more thing I realized is, when we have competitions, we emphasize very strongly on sadhana. The morning heavy good program. Not that he's doing book marathon, just walk away like that without program. Morning program. No, he has to have the full program. Chant his rounds, he has bhagavatam class, then go for this book distribution. Then they remain very sober and balanced. If that is not there, then there can be chaos. There can be big fights and all. Another point is, because ours is Vaidhi Bhakti. As you said, social pressure is very important actually. We are practicing devotees. We need pressure. You know, we're not on Raghunatha Bhakti platform. It's not possible. We need pressure.
Did you hear that? We're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. We're not on Raghunuga. We're not spontaneously attracted and constantly absorbed in Krishna's Leela. So we still need some encouragement. And encouragement sometimes means social pressure. It sometimes means marathons. It sometimes means special endeavors. Because we're not just jumping up in the morning and running. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda.
That's it actually, you know, because the practicing devotees, that means we need the social pressure. You know, in our temple, even today, we push for Mangalarti. Of course, we expect 10% Mangalarti. It is. Sometimes it becomes 99 or 98. But not everybody is coming voluntarily. But we put some pressure. We put some pressure. Japa, we make system and the pressure is there. If the system and pressure is not there, means people will be happily moving all around Tirupati, chanting their rounds. Some climbing up the hill, some climbing down the hills.
some climbing on the trees.
So that's not, because Bhagavatam says, Thivrena Bhakti Yogena, it should be as intense as sunlight. Otherwise, these anarthas will never go away. These anarthas are there for many, many lifetimes, billions of lifetimes. To burn these anarthas, we need Thivrena Bhakti Yogena, very intense sadhana, intense devotion. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, these anarthas can be removed. By their mercy. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.
Jai.
Gaur Premanandi.
Jai.
Okay, we have a break for 15 minutes. I'd like you to be back at 11:35 for the second part. No sugar. No, it's okay. You can give to the other. What's his name? Where? Huh? As you like, your choice. Yeah, you're always in marathon. Huh? 8 trucks. Wow. What do you brought? You bought new vehicles? You buy a new or used?
Yeah, I buy it for
for the midday meal. Because Juhu has not started midday meal.
Juhu has.
No, Juhu. Juhu has not started. Good. Thanks for coming. Hari. He's a strong man. Yoga. No. Yeah. 1 o'clock. 2:10. No, I'm eating. Thank you. You like it? Not too much controversial? You like controversies, no? Huh? No? It's good.
It just,
yeah. Because everybody has to search their own heart and see where they stand in the whole thing. No, for one, some of these boys, competition is very important, you know, because their life, but it has to be guided. Like if you're a sportsman, you can compete like anything, but you need somebody who looks after your well-being. Otherwise, you're finished. Yeah. No, because it has to evolve. It has to, you know, it has to evolve. Maybe I say a little something about that. So yeah, anyway, a lot of this stuff is a bit above the, you know, so I go easy. They can just read it and get some ideas. So now, how do we fulfill our promise to give Ladu to all these? You can give? No, tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, we'll make the announcement. Because we don't want to make withdrawal on the emotional bank account.
I have to buy letters. We have plenty of other with the letters.
Good.
Small again. I'm going to show them the big letter. You put them.
Okay, welcome back to the second session of today. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. First lesson was about teamwork and competition. Did you find it interesting? Did you get some ideas from the devotees? Good. So this lesson, we're going to talk about organizational skills, passing on the leadership, delegation, empowerment, time management, and communication. Can somebody tell the devotees who are still out there that we are starting? So there are different charts in your student handbooks. In the regular handbook, pages 22 and 23. And in the management handbook, leadership handbook, page 27. They're similar. Some of them are the same. We will not go through them because this is your homework. You have to read the organizational skills, which is page number 22-23, and also page 27. Some of it is the same. Clear? Okay. Now, I'd like to spend some time discussing about delegation, empowerment, and passing on the leadership. If we want to spread the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to involve a whole lot of people. Because right now, the exposure which we have, you understand exposure? The amount of people which we can contact, our exposure to the world, is very limited. Like I heard from Revati Raman Prabhu, that every day, it's probably about 1 lakh people who go to see Balaji. And maybe 10% what we're getting here. So our exposure to Tirupati is 10% of what Balaji is getting. Now, we should devise plans and ways and means how to increase our exposure in different ways, with different strategies. So, the first realization which we need to have is that, okay, in case you weren't here before, there's still people coming in. I'll let you know later on. So how do we get from where we are right now, from 10% to 108%? Any ideas?
Training courses. Many varieties of training.
Training courses, what else? Just like I spoke to Shaktiman, and he said he's already on a marathon. So it's hard for him to attend a full course because he just brought vehicles from Bombay for the midday meal program. He's a very busy man, engaged in Krishna service. So he cannot attend the full course, and he can also not run around all the time for distributing books because he's already running around all the time for doing so many things for Krishna. So what's the solution to this problem?
Make more devotees.
Make more devotees. Okay. What else? Other solutions? More advertisement. What else?
More publications.
More book distribution, more publications. What else?
More brain.
More brain.
Praying.
I thought brain. More praying.
Praying and praying.
Okay. Because Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we humbly submit our prayers and our plea, then by his grace, by his wish, he can make it happen.
Balaji is there for millions of years.
Yeah.
Millenniums. And our time is just 2 years.
Yeah, we're just new on the block. Only by prayers. Yes, that's the right mood. That's the right attitude. We can have as many brains as we want and have as much managerial experience as we want. we will not be able to make a difference. Because so many times people come to this movement and they say, you know, I got an MBA, I got a PhD, I got this, I got that. And you already know, it's going to be a tough nut. Let's see how this person deals with the reality of ISKCON. Huh? What's the reality? The reality is we have a lot of enthusiasm. We have a lot of sincere devotees. There might not be always that much skill, but there's a lot of sincerity there. Basically speaking, I've been involved from the ground, from the grassroots level up to the highest level of management. Each and every devotee I've encountered is very sincere, on their own level, on their own, you know, terms. Very sincere. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a devotee. So that is what makes a devotee so special. The devotees are sincere, and that's what attracts Krishna. If Krishna is not attracted by all the externals, he goes for the essence. He goes for the heart. So if the heart is sincere, then everything else can follow. And in some cases, it doesn't follow because the person is sincere and that's it. And that's all right. That's fine. But as leaders of this movement, our job is to train, recruit, and empower people to get involved in Krishna consciousness and to get involved in this movement. Some of them might not be chanting 16 rounds. Some of them might not be following four regulative principles. But we can still engage them in Krishna service. Do you think this is too radical? Prabhupada was doing that. Huh? He had no problem with that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the Jarikan forest. He engaged the tigers and the lions and the deers and everybody in chanting Hare Krishna. So, we should not be small-minded. Sometimes we have a small mind, a small vision. We think whatever is conducive for me and how I see the world. And whatever I'm doing, that's how everybody else should be doing. Because Atmavit Manyate Jagat. How I see the world, that's how the world is. And that's how everybody should think. But if you want things to expand, if you want things to grow, then you have to accept the fact that this Sankirtan movement is bigger than even all of us put together. This Sankirtan movement is unlimited. This Sankirtan movement is huge. Like Prabhu was saying, Balaji has been there for millenniums. And here we're coming. And we're saying, okay, let's do some competition here. Huh? I don't know how Krishna, how Balaji feels about that. He might smile in his usual, you know, magnanimous way. Or he might think, okay, let's show them. Let's show them some lesson like that. So we should not dare to challenge the Lord. Because, like sometimes we go to Puri and we think, what are these people doing here? We go to this place, we think, what are these people doing here? Huh? But we can only see faults and defects because we have them in ourselves. So rather we should look in the mirror and see, okay, what's going on here? What's going on inside? And that's why book distribution is a wonderful service. Because every day you go out to distribute, Krishna puts a mirror in front of your face and your heart. And he says, that's you. You don't like it? Deal with it. You don't like the mess? Clean it up. That's you. And we don't like it because it's tough to accept, oh, I'm not a pure devotee. Oh, I still have so many other desires, so many other things. That's why it's important that each and every member of our movement gets engaged in Sankirtan. Because then this assessment by the Lord will take place. And learning how to deal with rejection, that takes place on a daily basis on Sankirtan. So the art of involving other people, just like you all remember Dayananda, who used to build the first rats for the Rath Yatra in America? Jayananda. His speciality was he would just pick up everybody who would be around and he would engage them in Krishna's service. Yeah. So he picked up whoever came his way. and engage them in Jagannath service. That is the art of successful management. Take everybody and engage them in Krishna service in a favorable way. So, we're going to focus on delegation and empowerment. Because we've realized that, you know, there is 1.2 billion people out there. That's 1,200 million. Or that's 12,000 lakhs. It's a lot of people out there. We can't relate to these people. I mean, let's face it, like, I'm dealing now with 30, 40 people here, but then after 6 hours, you know, that's it. I gotta go to my room, do my thing, do my study, have my life, you know, in order to be functional. So how many people can we interact with? How many persons can we actually deal with on a daily basis? Even when you're on a book table, how many persons, did you ever count? How many people come up to you? How many persons you talk to? 100, 200, 300 if you're really moving fast. Huh? But there is 1 lakh people coming every day up there. So we have to pass on this tradition to others. And that is being done by 6 keys for effective empowerment, page number 25. And they consist of the right person. We have to consider a person's trustworthiness and ability, the desired result, guidelines, resources, accountability, and consequences. This is there for every activity, whether it be book distribution, whether it be temple service, whether it be leadership and management. These have to be taken into consideration. So I'd like you to read these, to think about these, and, you know, ponder about it. Because these are keys for effective empowerment. If these factors are proper, the person, the desired result, the guideline, the resource, the accountability, and the consequence, you can actually make a difference. You can actually get a positive result. Because many times we have the saying, okay, have you ever heard that? Everybody should go on book distribution. Now, I tend to disagree with that. Because I've seen that some people should not go on book distribution. They should not be out on the front lines. How do you feel about that? What's your opinion?
Yes, what is his name?
Should everybody distribute books?
No.
Can everybody distribute books in some way?
Yes. Yes. They can do
it. Yes. But to do it as a full-time service?
No.
No. Not possible. So we have to have realistic expectations. You remember? Otherwise, if our criteria is when people come in the door, okay, are you a book distributor? No? Okay. We don't need you. Understand? Because there will be a lot of people who come here and they are not brahmacharis and they are not book distributors. So what are we going to do with them? We just give them a laddu and we send them home? Or do we tell them, yes, we have ways and means how you can engage in devotional service? You understand? Right now, especially if you're a brahmachari, your focus is just, okay, it's me and the Lord. It's my sadhana and my book table, and that's it. The rest of the world doesn't exist. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, after Andhra, you know, it might as well go down. Isn't it? Huh? It might be the end of the universe. It's just me and my guru and my service, and that's it. And that's fine. That works for a few years. But then after that, you become a Sankirtan leader. And you have to see, okay, we need prasadam, vehicles, invitation cards. We're getting into other topics also later on, you know, how to follow up, how to make devotees. So then you see, this is not going to happen. With the crew I have, with these people, it's not going to happen. I need other people to get involved with this. So somebody might say, oh, this is, you're deviating from the pure book distribution, you know? So much talk about pure. What's pure? We're doing the pure book distribution. And we're doing the pure whatever. So Question is, what is pure? Who can be more pure than Srila Prabhupada? What did Srila Prabhupada do? He engaged everybody according to their ability, according to their propensity, to their nature, according to time, place, and circumstance, according to the need. So he was kind and magnanimous and pure to utilize each and every individual in Krishna's service. Now, to think that we are doing the pure thing sounds slightly arrogant to me. So, rather see it in such a way that every living entity is a servant of Krishna and can be engaged in Krishna's service. And we are simply their servants. That's a very safe position. So, on the left side, page 24, you have delegation passing on the leadership, authoritarian delegation versus empowerment. Now, we could have entire seminar just about this delegation and empowerment. But I'd like you to read this, think about it, and see the advantages and disadvantages which are there. Do you understand what is authoritarian delegation? Can somebody give an example? What is authoritarian? It's not an author, it's not a writer. Can somebody explain? Yes. Well, what's the difference between authoritarian and empowerment?
Authoritarian is one who cannot trust anyone. So, but he has to get some work done. So he will apparently give the work, but breathe down the other person's neck.
Okay, did you hear that? He doesn't trust anybody, but because he needs to get the job done, so he just says, okay, you do this. Just throw it in people's laps. And then he breathes down their neck. What does that mean, breathing down people's necks? Have you ever felt that somebody was breathing down your neck? Like when you're in the Bombay train and you have people breathing on your neck? How does it feel? Not very nice, right? It means that people don't trust you. They don't really allow you to, you know, grow, to make mistakes. Now question. As leaders, you're all the future leaders of ISKCON India. Should we allow our subordinates to make mistakes?
Yes.
Says yes. Mistakes is mistake. You want to make mistakes? Huh? Yes? You want to make mistakes? No. Sometimes. Only certain mistakes. Huh? It can happen. Making mistakes is part of the learning process. You know? Failure is the pillar of success. When Edison invented the light bulb, you know how many times he failed? 8,000 times. 8,000 times. They asked him, why did you waste your time? He said, I had to figure out the 8,000 ways how not to build a light bulb till I figured out the way how to build a light bulb. So if you're doing something complicated, something sophisticated, you might make some mistakes. That's just the way it is. So what's the difference between suicidal mistakes and minor mistakes? Can somebody explain to us? What are the mistakes you can allow your subordinates to make, and what are the mistakes you can't allow them to make?
When it involves other people's lives, it is very costly.
For instance, somebody says, I'm going to go to the top of the building, and I'm going to jump, and I'm going to chant Gauranga, and I can fly. Because I have faith in the holy name. That Gauranga will protect me and I'll be able to fly. Then what you'll tell him?
No.
No. But that means you don't have faith in the holy name, Prabhu. Impossible is the impossible is the word in a fool's dictionary.
No, but you know that we are not so pure.
Oh, how can you judge whether I'm not so pure? I've been chanting 64 rounds for 1 month. I think I'm ready to fly. I want to go out to Kuchu Puchu and open a huge temple there. Because I know that, you know, it has to be done. I had a dream, I had a vision. Such and such, you know, appeared in my dream. And I have to go there and open that temple. So you should give me a loan of 20 lakhs so I can go there and start the mission. So what do you do?
Prevent them from doing it. Advise them and show them the ways and means of coming out of it.
Isn't it that you're faced with these type of scenarios every day as leaders, as managers?
Yes, we do.
Now, okay, the guy who wants to jump from the roof, you don't allow him to jump from the roof. Why not?
At least we ask him to jump from the some
5 feet. 5 feet. Okay, jump from the first floor, not from the fifth floor. You say you have to first qualify, you know? One step, then you can improve. Okay. That's a good way. You see, you're very smart. You're very kind, you know? You're very kind. Now, if the devotee wants to go to Kuchu Puchu and open his big temple there, 20 crore project, he only needs 20 lakhs to start. Everything else will come automatically. Come on, you're laughing, but the business plan is there, you know? I have an MBA. I know how it works. I already have, you know, two brahmacharis and one householder. They're all on commission basis. They already have their suitcases, receipt books already. Everything is already done and printed. So we want to make a temple for Prabhupada. This is serious business. This is a real-time scenario. How do you deal with this? You are not the temple president, you're the regional secretary. We already promoted you, you know, to the next level. It goes fast, but that's the way how it goes in ISKCON, you know? You come one day and then you stick around for a while, then you're the leader, then you're the Sankirtan leader, then the temple president. Now you're already regional secretaries. Not yet GBC, but regional secretary. So that devotee comes to you, he's very sincere, he has been chanting and following, you know, for 3 years. He already got first initiation. And he really has this strong desire to build this temple for Prabhupada. Because he feels that that's what needs to be done in order to make a difference. To fight off the agents of Kali, we have to open this temple in Kuchu Puchu. 20 crore project. So, what do you tell him? Because there is enthusiasm, there is desire. Some say no. But what happens if you say no?
He'll walk out.
Huh?
He'll walk out. And
he'll walk out. He'll hate you for the rest of his life. He'll make politics against you. Start taking a saw and sawing on your chair. You have to get one of those little birds, you know, who taste your food before you can eat the food.
Actually, you can guide him how to...
If you say no, you'll break his faith, you'll discourage him, his whole enthusiasm will be gone. So how are you going to guide him?
You like to do some big project. No, first you have to finish this play, you go on and distribute 1,000 books and come back.
Okay. So you give them small project, because small project means small mistakes. This project means big mistake. And in that small project, You arrange it in such a way that even if the person fails, it will be all right. You know? He can still save his face. So we have to allow people, and devotees are people, we have to allow people to make mistakes. It's a fact of life. Because otherwise the learning experience is not there. You know? So they say the road to hell is paved with a lot of good intentions. So if you just have good intention, that doesn't do the trick. You have to actually allow the devotees sometimes to make certain mistakes. It's just like Prabhupada. When you remember that example of the fan? Touching the fan? Or touching the fire? So then you know, oh, fire burns and it stays in your head for the whole life. So you don't give him 20 lakhs and send him off to Kuchupuchu to do his project. But you might say, look, Prabhuji, here is 2,000 rupees and this is the project I like you to do. And you give him a clear assignment. You manage this festival here. You give him something, you know, where he feels like he can put his all his energy, all his effort into it. And then you see how he does. You might be surprised. Maybe he's good and he pulls it off. And then you take it to the next level. How many of our big leaders have grown like that? Most of them. They all started small, organically, and it grew. How many were big right from the beginning? Tell me. You know them all. How many were big right from the beginning? None. None. Everybody grew organically. But that was because Prabhupada gave them assignments. He gave them tasks. And if they didn't succeed, he helped them. He encouraged them. And sometimes he changed. But a lot of times he didn't change. And he allowed them to remain. And he gave them grace period. And he allowed them to mature and to come up. So it takes time to come up. Just like if you want to grow a mango tree, it will take you 10 years till you get proper fruit. Now, many times with devotees, we just want to harvest immediately. You know, like cash crops. You know, you plant it and you harvest. Isn't that the mood? You plant and you cut. And you plant and you cut. But what's the problem in this scenario? It's all hybrid. You know hybrid? You understand hybrid? Every year you have to put new seedlings. And you have to put fertilizer and chemicals and everything because it's not organic. It doesn't go anywhere. But if you have a natural habitat like trees, fruit trees, it takes time for it to grow. It takes care to take care of cows, to take care of trees, to take care of people. But eventually the fruits which are yielded are of a total different quality. Just like now you see all these seedless grapes. You ever tried all these seedless grapes? They look great, no? They look fantastic.
But no taste.
No taste. Isn't it? We've all experienced. They look wonderful. And then you have the old varieties, you know, the ones with the seeds? They don't look so good. Huh? They look a little odd shapes. And now the new ones are like, you know, long and really, huh? Like jumbos, you know, they look like big, but no taste. The other ones, they look a little odd, but the taste is so sweet. Huh? So that's the question. What are we trying to look for? What are we trying to get at? So delegation, passing on the leadership. Right now, the system is, whatever you've learned, you teach it to others. You might be able to give one class and one class only. Well, then that's the class you're going to give. Then next month you learn another class. Then that's the class you're going to give for the next month. And then you train some people to also help and join in. So it is not that simply because we do not have the manpower, we cannot start to do something. Like you started this project with how many people? One brahmachari, you and your wife. Three people were there. And now you have 14 departments and how many full-time devotees? 120 full-time, and active congregation about 500? 500 to 1,000 in the active congregation. And that's over a matter of 14 years. So it can be done. It's possible. But it means you have to be able to see the vision, and you have to be able to pass the ball. You have to be happy when other people succeed. You see, a lot of this competition business boils down to, I want to score. I want to get the score. It means we become trigger happy. You know what trigger happy means? It's a term from shooting, you know? People are happy shooting. They want to shoot the gun. They want to be the doer. They want to be the ones who is doing everything. But in our movement, we try to cultivate the mood of servant. Dasa, dasa, nudasa. So a devotee is more happy to see other devotees doing the service. That doesn't mean we just sit back and we're so happy to see everyone else doing the service because I'm dasa, dasa, nudas. So I'd rather have you do the service than I do it.
Sleep off.
Sleep off, yeah. And you doze off. But it means you actually empower other people. And part of that is that we learn how to manage our time. Now, a lot of times we have seen devotees were not very effective in their devotional service and in their day-to-day lives because the way how they manage their time is not very efficient. Now, you remember the example I gave at the beginning of the class? A lot of times we are very expert in doing things right, but we don't always do the right thing. How many times did you work very hard to do your homework, and then in class you realized that you did the wrong homework? Did it ever happen to you? The wrong job assignment? Although you worked perfectly hard, but you didn't really produce the desired result. So in Krishna consciousness, in the same way, how many times has it happened to us that we try to do a project, but it wasn't our project. It wasn't really our challenge. It wasn't really our thing to do. Anyone likes to share? Some realization?
One time, the temple in Amsterdam had some financial problems. And then they sent me with cookies instead of with books. And the result was that I ate more cookies than I distributed.
That's why you're so blissful.
But the management realized that I was not a good cook distributor. So the next day they gave me again books.
And books work better? Okay. Thank you for that. Any other example? So before we start managing other people's lives, we have to learn how to manage our own lives. So that's our circle of influence. That's right here. So that means, first of all, we have to learn how we devise our lives, our strategy, to be more productive. So on page 23... you have the charter for proactive time management. Important, urgent, unimportant, urgent, important, not urgent, and unimportant, not urgent. Now we confuse a lot of times these different what do you call them? No, not just terminologies.
Quadrants.
Thank you for that. And that's why a lot of our priorities are messed up. That's why we waste a lot of time. And we're not very efficient in doing what we actually meant to be doing. I do not get into these details because you can read this at your own time and at your own leisure. Now, I got a question for you. There's a common scenario that you can read this later on. Please close your student handbooks. I've heard the proclamation, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Have you ever heard that? Lead, follow, or get out of the way. I'd like to hear somebody arguing what's good in this statement and somebody arguing what's bad in this statement.
Can you explain a little bit on that?
Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Okay.
Either you lead, either you're a leader, or you're a follower, or step aside, because we're moving here. That means there's three choices. There's three tickets which you can come in on. Either you're a leader, or you're a follower, or move aside. So what's right and what's wrong in this statement?
Good leader means he should be a good follower. Without following, it's not possible to lead. This is very, very important, especially for us, the devotees. And if we don't lead, if we don't follow, indirectly we are saying, I'll mind my own business. Because it's a community. That means get away and do your business. That means you can do your own job. And you can chant your rounds. But you've got to follow somebody. All of us, we are following Srila Prabhupada, senior authorities. That's very important. Follow.
Thank you for that. Please.
Most of the time, leaders are not made. They are chosen by disturbed persons. Somebody gets disturbed and they throw someone to a lead position so that his life also gets disturbed and all of them gets disturbed. So a leader should be a person who is himself undisturbed and appointed by another undisturbed person. Then he can stop the disturbance of disturbed people.
Thank you. Any other thoughts?
Actually, this works for a leader. A leader should be, as Prabhu told just after the time, continuing. A leader should be a good follower. Otherwise, he should miss. That means he is into his himself. So he should leave that position of leadership. Get out of the way. But for a follower, because we have to accommodate everyone. So we can't say that you are not fit for Krishna consciousness. So for a general person, this principle doesn't apply. But for a leader, it applies. That get out of the way means he should get step down from leadership. But for a common man, this principle doesn't apply. It means that negative and positive, what I feel is...
It means Srila Prabhupada built a house in which the whole world can live. There is space for everybody. Everybody is welcome. Everybody is included. But if you want to be in leadership, you have to be qualified. And what's that qualification? You have to realize that you are the servant of everybody else. That's the bottom line. Yes?
This statement shows result orientation. I mean, it is result oriented. Either you can lead, or if you cannot lead, if you can follow, if you cannot follow, get lost. On the other hand, what he said, I'm just building on what he said, is that the objective is to engage everybody in Krishna consciousness. So which means that get out of the way is not an option for us. Somehow or the other, the person has to be cultivated gradually over a period of time, and he would either fit in one of these categories.
Thank you. Any other thoughts on the topic? Yes.
Sometimes we cannot lead, but we can follow. One day we can lead the system.
So first you start off by being a follower. And you follow loyally and faithfully. And then one day you can lead. Thank you.
Leaders should sometimes accommodate you.
some newcomers may come, he has some different talent which is not with our regular activities. When he has some new talent, then the leaders can create a new service for him and engage him.
Thank you.
I told three things. First thing is the throat.
Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Lead, follow, get out of the way.
Or you can also say my way or the highway.
Yes.
You heard that one before? Either so, you follow my way or highway.
Actually, once one devotee came to Jain in Prabhupada's time, that time Prabhupada, he is very scholar. Better service. But what we have in mind, you have to throw away, you have to follow who is the leader. Then, when you can become a follower, then you can become a good leader.
Okay, thank you. We got two more in the back and then we move on.
One should not misunderstand that lead or follow or get away means it's not totally go out from the house. Don't interrupt the leading. So if we are unable to lead, then either we can follow or we should not disturb the structure. I mean this.
Thank you.
What I understand is a person has three options here. I mean, actually it has one option. The leader should be somebody who can engage anyone and everyone. So one option he can give is to follow, and if the person is not exactly following in the lines of what leader is saying, then the leader should be capable enough of making that person a friend of ISKCON. Maybe he is not a follower of ISKCON, maybe he is not chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles, but still he can be involved in other activities.
Thank
so
you.
It's not exactly getting out of the way.
Thank you. You wanted to say something also, Maharaji?
Wanted to share the same what Mataji
okay,
said.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'd like to hear the conclusion by Srila Prabhupada. These quotes are all in the back. You don't have to open them now, but they're there. Leadership quotes, pages 20 and forward. This is a letter to Karandar. Our leaders should be very careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual and spontaneous and voluntary. They should try always to generate some atmosphere of fresh challenge to the devotees so that they will agree enthusiastically to rise and meet it. That is the art of management, to draw out spontaneous loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. All of us should become expert managers and preachers. And on time management, this is from Mahabharata. Do you know your priorities and do you arise promptly at the end of the night to consider those priorities? And Srila Prabhupada on emotional bank account, this is a letter to Upendra. We must always remember that the leader in charge of a temple must learn to successfully deal with the other persons there. No one is working as a paid servant. So if the dealings are not friendly, everyone will decide to leave. And yeah, that's it. Okay, in your student handbooks, you also have pages 28, 29, 30, and 31. These are different laws, ISKCON laws on individual rights, ISKCON laws on Sankirtan, standard for members, standard for leaders. So, we should be familiar with these things. I know that, especially Srila Japataka Swami Maharaj, very much stresses the point that the devotees know the ISKCON laws, the ISKCON law books. I was there a lot of times in the GBC meetings where he said, excuse me, I think this is against ISKCON law, such and such. We cannot do this because of this, and this reason. Or this is improper, or please check this. And he had the law quoted because he has a very, you know, he's got a very strong memory, so he knows all the parliamentary procedures and what we're supposed to follow our own rules. If we do not follow our own rules, how do we expect other people to follow us? So the first qualification of a leader is that he's a proper follower. If we cannot follow the rules and regulations, how we can expect others to do so? So as your homework, I'd like you to read the entire student handbook. The entire student handbook. Because this is all very important stuff. You might feel we're only touching on a couple of topics. That's right. Because you're meant to go deeper into this. There are entire courses on each and every one of these units. We do not have the time, nor the skill, nor the expertise to give entire seminars on this. There are seminars by His Grace Hanuman Prabhu and His Grace Anuttama Prabhu. They're doing leadership and management courses since many, many years. These courses are available. You're welcome to take these courses and learn. We're simply giving a glimpse here, simply some music for the future. Because if we want to organize the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to become more spiritually connected and pure, but also more expert, more efficient in what we do. One time, Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj, he asked Srila Prabhupada, will the movement go on after you leave? And Prabhupada said, yes. If you simply follow the regulative principles, chant 16 rounds sincerely, and by good, and you use your intelligence, you use your brain, by your expert leadership and management, the movement will go on nicely. So that was Prabhupada's proclamation. So there is five different types of leaders, or five different types of levels in every organization. You do not have this on your handbook, so if you like to take notes, you're free to take notes on this. The number one person is called the individual. It's the grassroots level. The individual which is capable and which contributes by talent. Individual capable, contributes by talent, knowledge, skill, and work. That's where everybody comes in on. That's the entry level. Then the next level is a team member. Team member contributes individually to the group. And to the objectives. That person is a team player. The first person is just an individual. He's just doing whatever he's doing. Second person is a team player. You all got the concept of team players, right? Did I speak about the national teams here? No. Like, for instance, I don't know whether this example flies here in India, but let's say basketball. Basketball is a team sport. Now, the best league in the world is the NBA in America. They're the best players and they're the highest paid sports people, some of the highest paid sports people in the world. Now, how come that when the United States goes and plays in a world championship or in the Olympics games, they usually lose? Why? Do you know why? You know who usually wins in these competitions? Countries like Serbia. Have you heard of Serbia? It's former Yugoslavia, the capital, you know? How many million people? 6 million people. United States is 250 million. Why does Serbia win against America in the... There's two main reasons. Teamwork. The Americans is a team of stars. Whereas the other ones, they're a team player. They're a team of servants. They have learned how to play together. Because if you're not a team player, you're off the team. Whereas in the States, if you're a star, they're a team of stars, and the other ones are team players. Now, have you ever encountered this difficulty? Too many chiefs and not enough Indians? Too many leaders and not enough servants? Everybody wants to be the boss. Nobody wants to be the servant. Nothing gets done. So that's number one. And number two is, you know, the big money is in the National League. The big money is not in the Olympics or in the World Championship. So the big guys don't even bother to go there. They don't care to fight for their national prestige. They just care about to play for their club and make the big money. So that's the scenario. So to be a team player means that the mission, the goal, the team's objective is above your own personal goal and your own personal objective. Which means you'll pass the ball to the other one so the other one can score. Or in other words, in Indian terminology, nobody cares whether you score a century. If your team loses, you've lost the game. You can still score your century. Nobody will be happy because if you lost the game. So a lot of times we're very happy scoring, but we're not too considered whether our team wins. But that should be our objective. So that's the difference between a team player and an individual. A team player is concerned about the team. Are we winning as a team? Are we getting anywhere as a group? So that's the second level. The number three level is a manager. A manager organizes people and resources. So he's also an individual, he's also a team player, but he's a manager also. He's effective and sufficient. Means he sees the bigger picture. He is a little more broad-minded than even a team player. He can make bigger decisions. That's a manager. After the manager, the next level is number four. That's an effective leader. That leader is leading through commitment, vision, and high standards. That's the effective leader. He's still involved in management. He's still hands-on through his own commitment, through vision, and through high standards. And then you have level five, which is the executive leader slash guide, and he's mentoring. It's a mentor. He's not hands-on. He's a guide, mentoring through humility and intense desire. It's the visionary, the guide. Now all of us have to see on which level do we come in. And what's the development? Because it's not like boxes. It's not like clear cut. Huh? Yeah, it's not by post like that. But so sometimes an executive leader or guide has to come down to the level of number four or number three or even number two in order to be effective. Because if you're an Uttamadhikari and you see everybody equal and everybody engaged in Krishna's service and you're just happy inspiring, sometimes you don't get the job done. Sometimes you have to step down from your regional or bigger perspective and you have to actually get your hands dirty. Roll back the sleeves and get into the things. They say every type of work is to a bigger percentage, is planning and execution. You say usually it's about 20% inspiration and 80% perspiration. So inspiration is important, but you also have to put in the effort. As you see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, if you want to see expert leadership, expert manager, expert servant leader, study Srila Prabhupada's life, Lilamrita. He was doing it all by himself. So Srila Prabhupada is the expert leader. And he not only led created and led this ISKCON movement, but he empowered so many individuals to become leader of their own, in their own ways. So that's Srila Prabhupada's legacy. That's Srila Prabhupada's wonderful contribution to the world. So let's study Srila Prabhupada's life and his teachings. And in this way, in our own small, little, humble way, we can also become humble servant leaders. It's 12:30. If there are additional topics you'd like to discuss, please bring them up. Otherwise, I feel like it's Ekadasi today. We should take some time for extra reading and chanting. But if there's something on your mind which you feel like sharing, please feel free to do so. I know tomorrow is a packed day. Some of you have to leave early. So we're going to have the second session. In the afternoon session, we'll start from 2 to 5. Because some have to leave us early. How many have to leave early? What times do you have to leave? 4:30. Okay. All right. So we'll have a very intense day tomorrow. So we'll try to keep it light and pleasurable experience today. Yes?
Is it possible that we can have a morning session?
It would be very difficult. It would be a marathon. This is India. Everything is possible. I don't want that you feel shortchanged. I can tell you what's on the menu. We speak about integrated preaching strategies, cooperation and integration of other services, interdependence, discussion, then car park and questions and answers, and making sure we fulfilled all of our objectives. Then there is prospects for book distributors. Where do we go from here? It means practical implementation. I'd like to hear from all of you. What's your personal commitment to increase book distribution? We have the test and the evaluation of the test, and then we have feedback from the students and teachers and certificates. We can start off and see how it goes, you know, depending on how talkative I feel or how much you're ready to share. We'll go either one go or we'll put it in two. I didn't understand your point. Come again, please.
Today, if you can add it and incorporate tomorrow's opportunity.
I just wanted to give you half an hour free time so that you think I'm a nice guy. And now you're saying I should give you another hour. It has to be by vote. It has to be by your own choice. Mutual agreement. For me, either way is fine. I'm your servant, so you tell me whatever you want to do. I feel today is Ekadasi and the energy is usually better for spiritual practice. Sometimes these topics don't fly so well on certain days. How do you feel? Who wants to go for another hour today and then finish tomorrow morning? Who wants to have more time for hearing and chanting and reading today and have regular program tomorrow? Yes. Yeah, that's what I already said. So that by 4:30, those who need to go, they can go. Okay, that's what we're focusing on. All right, we'll see how it goes also in the afternoon. But there's some important topics, you know, follow up and making new devotees. How do we make new devotees? Some important topics which are there. Okay, please take your lunch break and do your homework. You will not be assessed in the test. The leadership part, that student handbook, there's not going to be any questions on this. only on the graduate course on book distribution. This is your freebie. This is just, you know, as a gift. Free gift. No charge. Huh? You like it? Yeah. We had a team of devotees. Yeah. Okay, thank you for your attendance. 3 o'clock, yes. Take your time for chanting and reading and Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Ekadashi Bratta ki, Gaur Premanandi. Now people are a little, you know.